Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Again, I'm just going to do this very briefly, but it's very important. We're going to look at a few scriptures to begin with. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Everybody say, "The just shall live by faith." Praise the Lord. Here's what we found, that this scripture passage is found once in the Old Testament and three other times in the New Testament. So it must be a pretty big deal. In other words, what God is saying, faith is to be a way of life for every believer. And how many believers we got in here? So faith is how we live. It's a way of life for every believer. So we better know about it. Come on, we better know about it. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11 is a very familiar portion of the Bible, that whole chapter. Many will call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're going to turn there, if you would. We're going to look at a verse in just one moment. But before we do, we see repeated examples of faith. It reminds us of what God calls faith, what faith looks like, amen, so that we can know and learn by the actions of faith. Make no mistake about it, God wants us to be people of faith. He gives us examples of people who live by faith, and so that we would know how we could live by that example as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, we're going to read it from the Message translation. It says, "It is our handle on what we can't see." In other words, that's what faith is. This is the part I want us to look at, the act of faith. Everybody say the act of faith. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. The act of faith. The act of faith will always distinguish you from the crowd. But it not only sets you apart, it sets you above the crowd. Because this faith life will cause you to act and live differently than the world. They will see Jesus in and through you, and you will take on a different, you will take on not only the nature of God, the character of God, but you will live in a different way. So we can see our faith, obviously, is very important. Jesus said something very important concerning this in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. We'll read there. He says, "I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" This is a question that Jesus said. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Notice he didn't say, will he find a big crowd? He said, will he find faith on the earth? He's not against the big crowd, but most of the times we want to replace a big crowd for faith. And I can tell you right now, I want a big crowd, but I only want it because people can hear the Word of God and be changed and live by faith. Praise God. So he's going to be looking for faith, not a big crowd. The Passion Translation says it like this. I like this. It says, "Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people?" God is looking for faithful persistence in his people. Amen. And then one other verse that I want us to look before we jump in tonight is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, "For whosoever is born of God..." How are you born of God? By being born again. If you're a child of God, you've been born again. Whoever is born again of God overcomes the world. And he tells us, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ is the means by which we overcome the world. Listen to what the New Living Translation says of this. "Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." We live in an evil world that's on its way to hell, but we are in it, not of it, and we are rescuing souls from hell because Jesus sent his Son to die for a world that you and I were, so that we could be spared from a devil's hell and make heaven our home. And he said, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Well, we get into the kingdom of God through our faith, but we defeat this world all around us by our faith, so it must be pretty important. Our faith, the point I'm making is, our faith is vital to our lives and our victory. And if there was ever a time that we needed it in the world that we live in, it is now. So tonight's message is going to be entitled, Faith, America, and the Final Days. Faith, America, and the Final Days. I'm doing something different tonight that you probably never seen me do before. But I'm going to introduce, in just one moment, you're going to hear from a man you may have never heard or know him. He was born in 1913, and he went home to be with the Lord in 1986. Pastor Debbie and I, in 1996, he went home to be with the Lord at 83. Pastor Debbie and I, we cut our teeth on him when we got born again in 1986. We've been in a number of his, we were in a few of his meetings before he actually went home to be with the Lord and saw him personally and so on and so forth. But what's important is this, is the message that you're about to hear is only about 25 minutes. He brings it because, and I want you to hear it, because this was something that God, you can see that the recording is at least 40 years old. God gave him this vision or this revelation, as you're about to hear, many years prior to that. What is significant about his life to begin with, as a teenager, he was dying with leukemia, and he had a vision from God. And in that vision, on one side of the wall, there was a coffin. And the other side of the wall in the room, there was a Bible. And he heard God say to him, he said, go for me and preach and you'll live. And he says, I believe I will. Praise God. How many know that was a pretty good decision? Another vision he talks about that affected his life, he said, I only had two major visions in my whole life. And the second one, and that one, and the second one probably impacted his life is more than anything else. And he saw in that vision a multitude of souls like being led down a corridor, and they were going off a cliff into the abyss and to hell, where flames and crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And God says, I'm sending you to that world. And he says, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to those people. And he says, you have to, because their blood will be on your hands, and I'm sending you to the world so that they can hear about me and be saved. As a young man, he went to the Philippines. He began to travel the world. He left the United States of America, and two men changed his life. Smith Wigglesworth was one. The other one was a man named Howard Carter. And this man, Dr. Lester Summerall, probably where so much success came was in the Philippine islands of Manila, where he actually changed the Philippine islands by an encounter he had, and it's a documented case. They have done movies and videos on it called Bitten by Devils. There was a young teenage girl that was demon-possessed, and she was actually, you couldn't see the demons when they attacked her, but you could see the result of them. She was bitten, she would bleed, and God said, I want you to go and set that girl free. And when he did, he was granted the key to the city by the president. And he says, you can have anything you want. He says, just give me open air crusade. And so he had an open air crusade where thousands and thousands of people came because they heard of this incident, and thousands got saved. He started a church there and had the largest church there in the Philippines. And then God, as you're about to hear, God sent him back to America, and he says, I'm sending you back to America. I've sent you to the world, and you can come back. And you can go to the world and preach the God, but you're going to come back to America, because I'm telling you some things are going to happen in America that I need you to go back and prepare the church for. And here is what you're about to see. Trust that you have eyes to see and ears to hear.
This is one of the most important messages that I have sent to my friends in the United States of America. It all began in Manila, Philippines. I had been invited by former President Marcos to a special meeting where he spoke to dignitaries and to his parliament. On one side of me was the ambassador from the United States. On the other side was the cardinal, the Archbishop of Manila. And it was interesting to be there for 2 hours. I walked into the streets of Manila and something close to a riot. Most of it was against America rather than related to the Philippines. Signs said, "Go home, white monkeys," being jogged up and down by children. Others said, "America's imperialist," jogging up and down. And I walked out among those people, and I told one boy, I said, "Son, do you mean I'm a white monkey?" He said, "No, sir." Well, I said, "Well, that's what the sign says." He said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you carrying it?" He said, "I was given a peso to carry it." I said, "You really should throw that down. You may get hurt." And so he threw it down, and I stomped it to pieces where he couldn't pick it up anymore. I walked over to the boy that was carrying a sign, "America's imperialist," and I said, "Son, you're a student of history." He said, "No, sir." I said, "Why are you carrying that sign?" Well, he said, "I was on the street over there, and they gave me a peso to carry it." I said, "That's the way riots begin, you know." I said, "Do you know anything about America?" And he said, "No, sir." I said, "My country gave your country freedom twice, and our young men died twice in order to make your country free. Free from the Spaniards and then free from the Japanese." He said, "I've heard of that." I said, "We're not imperialists." He said, "No, sir." I said, "Then throw the sign down." He threw it down and I stomped it to pieces. But I love America very much. And by this time, tears was running down my face and I was ashamed to be in the crowd. So I walked 2 blocks from the government buildings to our great church in Manila, Philippines. Sitting at my desk, weeping, telling God how much I loved America and hated for it to be hurt by people who didn't understand us. God spoke to me into my spirit and said, "Son, I am sending you home to live. Says you can go overseas for a few days and minister, but your headquarters will be in America." I couldn't quite understand that because my family and I were living in Manila at that time. This was our second time to pastor the church there. And I said, "Well, why, Lord?" He said, "I'm going to give you 7 reasons why I'm sending you home." And I just took my pen out and began to write them down as to why I was to come to America. And he said, "I want you to help save America." And I said, "Lord, I am willing to." He said, "It's my bastion of freedom, and not only of the earth, but of freedom in the great world of mind, of freedom of minds, of freedom to think in that country. And it spreads throughout the world from there. And I need you to help save that." And I said, "Lord, I'm willing to be anything for you." Then he spoke to me and said, "Through television, I'll give you 1 million souls. And I said, "Lord, I'd do anything for 1 million souls. He says, "I'll give you 1 million souls through television if you will go home. But he says, "Here are 7 things that you're going to see in America." And so the first one, he said, "America will depart from the faith. It will depart from the faith of its fathers. It will depart from the fundamental churches and from the fundamental preachers." And I said, "Lord, tell me about that." And he says in 1 Timothy 4:1, the word says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," and that's with a capital S, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And God spoke to me and said, "Now this is the latter times. And they shall depart from their traditional church. They shall depart from the Bible. They shall depart from the religion of their parents. They will just go out from it." And I sat there saying, "Well, you can't get out of a car till you get into a car. You can't go out of a house till you get into a house. And that means that there are going to be millions of people who will walk out on their faith, abandon their faith, and leave their faith." And I became very hurt inside. God said, "You will see it. Millions will not go to church and not serve me, and will just leave their faith. And I said, yes, Lord, I'd do anything to bring America back to its original faith and its trust in the mighty God. And while I paused for a moment, the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, not only will they depart from their faith, but it says, Eastern religions that you have dealt with for many years, and pagan religions will take root in America and will flourish there. I said, oh God, no. How could they believe in strange gods, and how could they do that? The Lord said, they will do it. And so the second thing that God told me was that Eastern religions would become a prominent part of American life, that Hinduism would invade our country. Now, we have seen this. We've seen thousands of people take up yoga. And yoga just means one thing, that you submit yourself to an unseen force, and that you start saying words in the Hindu language that you do not understand, and that you are praising and praying to a Hindu god at that time, and you've opened yourself up for demon power to enter you, that you might be possessed of the devil. And Hinduism is growing in this country. The Hare Krishnas are showing you how Hinduism can grow. And they come in with a lie, saying, full of love, full of love, full of love. They don't know what the word means. They just picked that word up. It's not in their language. They only picked it up in our language. And what they're doing is seducing people to leave and abandon their faith in God, the great and mighty God who created the heavens and the earth, and to go into some pagan religion that has no hope in this life or in the life to come. And so I thought of that, and the Lord said, that's also in 1 Timothy 4:1, that not only will they depart from the faith, they won't just walk out and quit, but they will give heed. That means they will serve, and they will listen to seducing spirits. That means spirits that are telling lies, seducing them, just like Eve was seduced in the Garden of Eden into taking of the fruit of the tree and brought havoc upon the human race, that thee will in the last days give heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, the devil's doctrines are that he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse us from our sins, that Jesus Christ is coming again to receive us unto himself, and that we shall live forever with him in heaven. Everything that we believe, the devil doesn't believe, and he believes the opposite of what we believe, and that's what's being perpetrated in this country today, doctrines of devils, which means the very opposite of doctrines of truth and life that come from God. I couldn't, sitting at my desk, I couldn't believe it. I said, God, will this truly come to pass? He says, you will see it. And I am seeing it, and you are seeing it. Then I said, Lord, what more? He said, besides Oriental religions, in the third place here, he says that cults and demon worship and satanic worship will become prominent in America. And I said, Lord, how could that be, that a nation that was built on the Bible, that came out of Europe, where Satan worship has always been for many hundreds of years, how could it be that they would go back into satanic worship? And the Lord said unto me that they would come back to fetishes and carry holy things around with them, and that they will have covens, and in these covens they will make sacrifices, and they will be just like the pagans of long ago. You can't imagine having grown up in a society of evangelicalism, that the Lord would be telling me that our country, that many people in our country would go backwards hundreds of years to worshiping idols and to worshiping fetishes and to be worshiping and identifying themselves with satanic religion that was related to human sacrifice. Because in the covens in this country, they have discovered baby bones where they have offered up human sacrifice unto demon gods in our own country. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to return to America if you need me there. God says, I will use you in ways I've never used you before. And I will place you before millions of people for them to hear you teach the word. And in the final moments, you will be greater than in the first moments. And that you will stand up strong and tall to instruct. And many will listen. It says, many will listen. That I will give you an honor among them. That they will say, what does he have to say? He has been here a long time. He understands truth. And they will listen to you. And I said, God, I will go anywhere if I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. God says, I want you to do that. I said, what more? He says, in the fourth place, there will come a terrible and awful spirit of rebellion in America. A spirit of rebellion. And I said, oh, God, what do you mean? He says, the greatest place you will see it is in the homes. The home within itself that used to be the place of tenderness and the place of love and the retreat from the world to come inside the home where your little family was, where you could say anything you wanted to say and laugh when you wanted to laugh, and you were home. You were home, folks, and nobody else was there. The door was closed, and you had those that were nearest and dearest. Says a spirit of rebellion from the devil shall come and will rip the homes to pieces. If you could have been there, you'd have given $1,000 just to have seen a human like myself start weeping, crying. I forgot the street scene where they were calling me a white monkey and where they were saying, go home, and where they were saying America is imperialist. I forgot that. And I began to see Kansas City and I began to see Detroit and I began to see Pittsburgh and I began to see New Orleans and I began to see Los Angeles. And I said, oh God, what can I do? The Lord said, from coast to coast, homes will be torn to pieces like a tornado, ripped into shreds. And there will be thousands of little children that have to live with one parent. And I lived in a home, brought up in a home of great love in that home. We love one another. And in my own marriage, my wife and I love one another. And I couldn't understand it. I said, God, how can it be that homes will be torn to pieces? God says such hate will come and it will boil up. It will boil up like a mighty wind and just twist the home to pieces. And divorce will be so terrible. And at this moment, friends, any child born today hardly has a 50-50 chance of living with mom and dad together. Isn't that terrible? Over half the population of tomorrow will not know what it means to have a home where they have a dad and a mom in the same house together. And there will be so many second and third and fourth marriages until little children won't know who to respect. They won't know who to love. And they will hate. And they will hate. Rebellion will be in their hearts. They will take that rebellion to school. And that rebellion is already there. Teachers today are quitting by flocks. They said, I can't stand it anymore. The rebellion that's in the hearts of the students against their parents, against education, against authority, against discipline. They are against everything that creates character, that creates a good person. And says, we can't stand it. Now, God told me this before it came to pass. God told me that the spirit of rebellion would come, that it would attack the university campuses, that the teachers would have it in their hearts, and they would get out like school children and scream in the streets and put up banners and show that there was deep rebellion. And rebellion comes from hell, and rebellion comes from the devil. And we've got a spirit of rebellion in the homes it will be, in all education it will be. And God said he wanted me to know that a spirit of rebellion would come into the labor movement, such as we'd never seen before, that would even try to shut down the whole of the United States of America. Just stop it because of a few men at the top, greedy for power, greedy for money, and greedy for prominence to have their face on television and their names on the front pages of newspapers. And that this anger in the labor movement, would drive the people into the streets like maniacs, screaming and crying and burning and turning over cars. And it's all that same spirit of rebellion in the home, in the divorce courts, in the educational institutions, and in your labor movement. He said there will be a demon of rebellion that will cause it will hurt so many. And I sat there in Manila, Philippines, weeping at my desk in a church that I built with my own hands, the largest church in the nation, and God was telling me to leave it and to come home and to live with you and to speak the truth and to say it out loud so people could hear it. And I said, God, I'm a servant of yours. I'll do anything that you ask me to do. With all my heart, I will do it. And I'll tell others, and the others will do it also. Then the Lord kind of whispered in my ear. It wasn't loud and it wasn't hard. He said, and son, the Americans will change in their morals. And I said, in what way? He says, so far, homosexuality has been something behind the doors. He said it is a spirit that comes upon a man that will make him lust for the body of another man. And the Lord said, would you just read Romans? And I opened my Bible to Romans. He said, look in chapter 1. And I said, all right, Lord. And I began reading in verse 23. And in Romans chapter 1, and it said, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. He says, you see, they're going to worship images right in your own country. And made like unto corruptible man, and like birds. Many of the idols of the heathen are half bird and half human. And four-footed beasts, and many of them have beast bodies, you know, and man parts in their bodies, and creeping things, whereunto God says he gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. These evil things were created by lustful hearts against God. The same reason Lucifer got thrown out of heaven. Pagan religions are in the same state of rebellion against God as they were. He said to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. To dishonor their own bodies. Oh, I've been into heathen temples around the world. You can't imagine the immoralities that take place there as they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25 says, and they change the truth of God into a lie. You go back far enough, you go back to Noah and his three sons, and the whole world believed in the living God, the mighty Jehovah who created heaven and earth. They all did. And from that to Abraham's time, which was 10 generations, they changed. And this is when all this took place. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshiped and served the creature, more than the Creator, which is the Almighty himself, who is blessed forever. And for this cause, God gave them up unto unto vile affections. God just gave them up. And when he did, it was like Sodom. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, you see, to vile affections. It says their women changed the natural use of their bodies against nature. And the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned. Look at that word, burned. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. Which was to me, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And look at the last verse 32. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but the if they even have pleasure in those things, if they have pleasure in those things, God says, these things will come. And the sixth thing God told me, I don't like to talk about. God told me that on television, just like you have homosexuality, claiming their rights and boasting and seeing them carry on television, he says that bestiality will become the same. that women will say, my dog is nervous and my dog can't stand it, and I have to give him sex. And when I give him sex, then he becomes normal again. And bestiality will become a prominent thing in America, where people will lay with animals. And the Bible says they that do such things are worthy of death. Now, God told me that these things were going to come to pass. I had not seen them at that time, you see. But God said, these things shall come to pass. You might say, did he tell you that something good would come? Yes, or I would have asked to die at that desk in Manila. He did. He told me, he said, and son, you will witness the mightiest revival the human race has had. And I said, oh God, really? And he said, in Acts chapter 2, you can read it. It says in verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy, and your young men, they shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on the servants and the handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so God said, yes, in the last days, a revival such as you have never seen will come to pass. And I will be part of that revival. And that's the reason I am so deeply involved in television. That's the reason I seek more stations, in order that we might make it a wider scope of getting the gospel there. It's one thing to be on a station for an hour a day and then putting the devil on for the rest of the time. It's another thing for God to have the station 24 hours a day. God help every one of us to man a station in every city in the United States. To be willing to sacrifice anything and everything in order to have our own television outreach in every city. Our own station that belongs to Jesus. And I urge you to pray that this mighty revival will have free course. And that when it comes, that your heart will be open for it. That my heart will be open for it. And that we shall see what God wants to do. Because these are the last days. Our scripture here said, in the last days, just before the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, these are the things that we shall see. But you say, how about the other things? Well, the Bible says there will be a great falling away before the coming of the Lord. But it also says there will be a mighty outpouring of His Spirit upon our sons and our daughters. And the old men and the young men shall all have an outpouring of His Spirit. You'll have to decide which group to be with. Whether you want to be with dead churchianity and denominationalism that doesn't believe in the miraculous, does not believe in the power of God, doesn't believe in the anointing of God. Or whether you want to change over and say, I want to be with the latest thing God is doing. I want to do with the greatest thing God is doing. And then the circle will be complete back to the original Pentecost. When at that point in time, the former rain and the latter rain, which is impossible in nature, shall come at the same time. And we shall have a double portion of the mighty inflow and outflow of the great power of the living God. The Lord told me that at the proper time, I could release this. As far as I know, this is the first time I have given all seven of these things that God told me to do and that I would see in the United States of America. I mentioned one and two of them from place to place, but this is the first time that I know about that I have given all seven of them. I have not spoken upon the different topics explicitly, you see, and in its finality, I could leave that to you. But God has told me that these are the seven things to look for. These are the things that will be apparent in these last days. And that as we see these things, the Lord Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads. You're not to be broken. You're not to be hurt. You're not to be cast down, but you're to lift up your head, Jesus said, and rejoice. How can you rejoice with all the sorrows in the world, all the pitiful conditions in the world? How can you rejoice? Yes, we can. We can rejoice. You say, why? Our redemption draws nigh. That's what Jesus said. When we see these things come to pass, we know that Jesus is coming soon. We're living in the final moments of this dispensation of grace. Living in the final moments before that He that promised to come will come. And He shall take us to be forever with Himself. But before He comes, the church shall be grand. The church shall be glorious. The church shall be mighty. The church shall have words to speak of authority that will make commands upon sin and the devil, and they cannot be resisted. And we're living in that moment, dramatic moment. We're living in that moment, prophetic moment, where these things are apparent, and God is saying to you and to me, now is the time. Now is the time. Stand up. Clean up. Move up. Get going. This is the most prophetic moment in all the history of mankind, just before the return of our Lord and Savior from heaven.
Praise God. Come on, Brother Ryan. Now you see why your faith is so important. Which side are you going to choose to be? Light, I think we've already made a decision. But our faith says, not only have I made a decision, my faith says I will stay with Christ. And I will be part of the glorious church that carries the gospel to a world that's broken and lost, just like you and I were, so they can hear the gospel and have faith come, because that's the only way, listen, that's the only way it can come. And let me tell you something. A lot of people are seeing a lot of things about revival, want revival, but the number one way it's going to come is the church to stand up and preach the gospel. That's how it's going to come, because you are, and I'm to be, the one that makes it, because we are revived. We're the ones on fire. We're not waiting for God to send it. We are it. And we go into the world and we share so people can come alive. Go on and share, Ryan. Pray, play. So people can come to Jesus Christ. He said it best. We can choose. I believe we've already chosen, but here's the thing. Every day we choose Him to be Lord. Staying on His side, God's side. That's what I'm saying. And letting God use us, His church, to do what He always wanted to do. And that's people to hear the good news. Will God do a new thing in this final hour? God always does anything He does the same way. He does it through repentance. In other words, He's going to use man. Listen, He uses people, the body. He has no other body in the earth except Him. Christ is in heaven. He's the head. We are His hands and His feet. When are we ever going to get it? I believe you get it. That we are His body. We are His representatives. We are His ambassadors. And so, if God is moving in this earth, He's going to move through His body, through His people. And what He's going to do in the earth is always going to come through repentance, faith in God, and obedience in His name. That's how God has always done everything. People repenting, people having faith in His Son Jesus Christ, and people obeying His command. So if we want to see what God wants to do in the earth, that's how it's going to happen. Because that's how every move of God has always happened. And we think that it's God moving, it's man moving with God. God's already told us how to make this work. And what I'm saying is, a lot of times we're praying and asking God to do something that He told us to do. We're to be so on fire for God, in spite of all the darkness, we are the light. And as we're filled with the Holy Spirit and have His Word, and we speak that truth, that has the power. Because truth, this is why truth is so important. This is why this whole year, as you know, on Sunday mornings, we've taken some side journeys, but redemptive truth is the most important thing. Why? Because it's the only way we're set free. It's the only way the world is set free. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. And God, whatever has been speaking to your heart, be as willing as Lester Sumrall was to the things that God said for him to do, the things that God is dealing with us as individuals to do. Let's be as obedient. Say, God, I'm just your servant. Whatever you have for me to do, I'm here to do. Well, this is why we exist. We exist to win and disciple people to Christ. Let's pray. If you need to come to this altar, if you need to make an altar at your chair, I trust.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.